It's the Real Side of H-Town, 97.9 The Box, the Manhattan Morning Show in the studio. I don't, Houston native, jazz aficionado, great jazz musician, also with ties to hip hop. I don't know how to introduce Robert Glasper.
It's really hard.
Grammy Award winning.
Multi. There you go. Multi.
The Emmy is singular. I have one Emmy.
Yo, you got it. Yeah, you got an Emmy. So Emmy, it's Emmy slash Grammy Award winning musician, Robert Glasper.
Yeah,
you are all those things, man. Do you know where all your stuff is? Do you know where the Emmy is and the Grammys and everything?
I know the Emmy's at my house.
Okay.
I have 4 Grammys, and I've split them up amongst family members here in Texas.
Was that mandatory?
No. I just gave it to them for, like, Christmas gifts.
A Grammy for Christmas?
Oh, wow.
I let them borrow it for Christmas. You know, your family loves to brag on you, uh-huh. And nothing's better than bragging on you with the actual Grammy. My dad has one. When I gave him my Grammy, every day he would send me a picture of a random person at the gas station, like, holding a Grammy. Like, in the grocery store, holding a Grammy. Church's Fried Chicken, holding a Grammy. Like, random people, like, he just drive around with it.
Well, Rob, go back. So they don't, for those who may not be aware of who this once Elkins High School student is.
Yes.
Can you tell them who you are and what you got your Grammys for? I know we said jazz musician.
Yeah, I'm a jazz musician, and that's how I got signed to Blue Note Records in 2005. I went to Elkins freshman year,
yep.
Then went to HSPVA next 3 years.
Yes, sir.
Got a full scholarship to college in New York, the new school. But then, I got signed to Blue Note Records. I did a few jazz albums. Then in 2011, I did a record called Black Radio,
mm-hmm.
which combined all the different styles of music that I loved and all the people I've met in my years of being in New York. You know, I used to live down the street from Common. I used to give them piano lessons. You know,
really?
Erica,
okay.
Yeah, Erica used to live like 2 blocks from me. So she used to come over and play me her demo, like play me ideas for songs, you know what I mean? On tape.
Mm-hmm.
Tape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember jazz is like, she don't know what you're talking about.
It was actually 97, but she had stuff on tape, you know what I mean? These people I just known for a year because I met Bilal, the singer Bilal, in college.
Is he the person responsible for getting you all hooked up with the hip-hop side?
Yes, because I was his music director. He got signed to Interscope Records,
right,
with Jimmy Iovine and them, and from that, being on the road with him, I was his music director, so we were opening up for Erica and Common and Mos Def and, you know, Jill Scott. Right. And all those people. So I got to know them through the years because of that. And I used to play in the Roots too, a lot, you know.
Wow.
So because of my relationship with Bilal.
Mm-hmm.
So then I did a record called Black Radio in 2011 that basically mixed all those together. And I literally texted everybody like, yo, I'm doing a record. You want to be on it? You know. And then I really was only supposed to be half, 6 people and then 6 guests and then just my band. But ended up snowballing. All my friends were calling me like, yo, you can't, you're on the record. I can't be on it. You know, right. So ended up being a whole record of all these guests, and I had the option to put it in the jazz category or the R&B category for album of the year. I was like, let me see what happens. And I put it in the R&B category. We won R&B album of the year.
I did not know that. I thought it was for jazz.
No, R&B album of the year. I don't even have a jazz Grammy. All my Grammys, none of them are jazz. I have, so R&B album of the year, which is the first year they did not televise R&B album of the year,
mm-hmm.
when I won it, because it wasn't good TV, because no one knew who I was. Because I beat out R. Kelly. I beat out R. Kelly. I beat out, what's the white dude name?
Robin Thicke.
And I beat out Anthony Hamilton. You know, so all these people are like, and Tyrese. Everybody's like, who is this dude?
You know? Oh, you know what? That's when we all learned.
I was the same way. I heard about Houston native. Went to Grammy.
I'm like, how's this guy from Houston? We don't know who he is.
Right.
And with the Elkins, you know, so it's like, you're right.
So nobody knew who I was. So they were like, we're not putting that on TV. You can't put black people you don't know on TV. It's not Rihanna, it's not Drake. So that happened. So then the next year, I did another album, Black Radio 2.
Right.
And I got nominated for R&B Album of the Year, mm-hmm. again. But then this time I won Best Traditional R&B Song, because I did a remake of Jesus Children of America, Stevie Wonder's Jesus Children mm-hmm. of America, and I did it with Layla Hathaway.
Yep.
And we won Best Traditional R&B Song.
Okay.
Won a Grammy for that. Wow. And then I scored a movie with Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle did a movie about Miles Davis.
Yep.
Called mm-hmm. Miles Ahead.
Yep.
And that was my first time ever scoring a movie. And I scored
the movie. I didn't know you scored the whole movie. I thought you just played And I thought you just played music for the movie.
No. I wrote and scored the whole movie. Yeah. When it wasn't actual Miles Davis recordings playing, I did everything else.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and I ended up winning a Grammy for that, for best soundtrack. And we beat out Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah.
We beat out Amy Winehouse Story. What? We beat out Suicide Squad.
Wow.
We didn't think we were going to win, to the point where Don Cheadle did not come to the Grammys. He was like, come on, man. Come on, man. I mean, we made it this far. I was like, bro, just come. He's like, nah. I said, all right, if we win, you gotta get your butt up, get dressed, and come to the red carpet. Dude, first of all, that particular category was like the second one that day. Mm-hmm. So it was early. It was like 9 in the morning or something. It was super early. So it wasn't that early. It was like 12:30 afternoon. I called him. Like, yo, we won. He's like, shut up. I was like, bro, I sent him a picture of me dancing with the Grammy. On the so he got dressed.
And he came down the red
carpet. And he came down the red carpet. So I had to walk the red carpet twice. So I walked the red carpet twice, you know what I mean? Because we walked it first. Walked it again with Don about an hour later. We got something to eat. An hour later, walked the red carpet. But I didn't know at the Grammys you can't scan your ticket twice. So when it was time to go to the televised portion of the Grammys, they wouldn't let none of us in. They wouldn't
what?
Let me in.
You're
I'm standing at the door. And everybody's passing me like, congratulations, Robert. Man, I'm a big fan. Taking pictures. The security guard doesn't care about none of that. He's like, I don't care about none of that. You already was in, so I can't let you in. So it took us 45 minutes to finally get into the actual televised portion of the Grammy. It's so funny. And then my last Grammy is for Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly record. Mm-hmm. I played on 9 songs in the record, but the If These Walls Could Talk got Hip Hop Song of the Year, mm-hmm. and I was a guest on that song.
You've done it all, and then the Emmy.
And then the Emmy was for Ava DuVernay. She did a film called The 13th on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I recorded that here. What happened was, Ava called Common the very last minute. She's like, I got 5 days, and I need an ending song for this movie I just did. Mm-hmm. And I don't have an ending song that really speaks to me. Can you do it? Common called me. I'm in Houston with my son. He said, yo, can you fly to L.A. do this song? And I was like, nah, I'm with my son. I can't. I'm always on tour and stuff. So when I make time for my son, I try never to break it. It's just time. I was like, bro, I can't. You know, I can't do it. Sorry, man. I got to be here, you know, visiting family. He was like, man, I'll come down there. I was like, all right. So him and his people came down here. We found the studio. And we came up with this song called Letter to the Free.
Mm.
And we came up with it here and did the bulk of it here. And then he flew to New York like the next day and laid his vocal, sent it to Ava, and it ended up winning an Emmy for a best song on a documentary.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Is everything with you a story? None of it's easy.
So all we need now is Oscar and Tony.
Exactly.
So is that coming?
Common, all he needs is a Tony. And he's the EGOT. There's only 12 in the world.
That's what I'm saying. You need to be.
We're in the process of figuring out a Broadway. No, really, literally, we're figuring out a Broadway play. We're going to write a Broadway play.
Really?
100%.
About what?
I don't know yet.
It'll
be written for sure. Definitely.
Do you know what you want to talk about? What you want it to be about?
Yeah. It's going to be something social, of course. It's Common. You know what I mean? So it's going to be definitely something social because that's what's missing in Broadway, you know what I mean? A lot of it, you know, especially what's going on now, I think it's going to have something, a lot to tie in with.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
What's your deal with Common, man? Is this your musical hip-hop
Muse.
Brother? Yeah, Muse. I like that, Rob. Muse.
Yeah, well, you know what? He was my first cat I hung around. Before, like, in 1998, when I moved to New York, Bilal was like, yo, man, my boy's a rapper. He really wants to learn how to play piano. Can you give him lessons? I was like, all right. So I used to walk over to his house and give him lessons, but I didn't know who he was because I wasn't hardcore into hip-hop yet. I didn't know who he was, so I was going to his house.
He was over there trying to help Common be a better...
Yeah. And then we hooked up with Jay Dilla. I went to Detroit with Bilal to work with Jay Dilla for like 2 weeks for Bilal's first record. And, you know, Common was on that, and then they did his album called Like Water for Chocolate. Mm-hmm. And I was in the studio watching them record Like Water for Chocolate.
Wow.
At the same time, They were. This is at Electric Ladyland Studios. My dormitory for college was across the street. So I watched in the studio one time was Bilal on the top floor, Common doing Like Wild Shot on the second floor, D'Angelo doing Voodoo on the bottom floor,
Damn.
And Erica doing, I want to say Mama's Gun or something, all in the same joint. So we're like literally running up and down the stairs to other people's sessions, like checking stuff out. You know what I mean? Like that was actually a time period like that happened. It was like, I think it was 99.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was a time period, you know, that
So how does this relationship, obviously, it's continued up until now because now you have this new group.
August Green. Yeah, so Common's last record called Black America Again. That was his last solo record. Me and Kareem Riggins. Kareem Riggins is an amazing producer and a drummer. Mm-hmm. Me and Kareem Riggins produced that record together for Common. So when we were all in the studio together, you know, Common was like, man, I love this synergy. I love the way we work together. I love the vibe, man. He's like, man, y'all want to do a group? You know what I mean? I was like, yeah, we should do a group. That'd be cool. Because he's like, I feel like we could do stuff musically that I can't normally do if I go under just my name. You know what I mean? Mm. We can go other places and do other things. You know what I mean? I was like, cool, let's do it. You know, so we formed the group. Then Amazon came to us and was like, hey, y'all want to do this group and do it with Amazon Music? Let's do a special deal. So our album came out only on Amazon.
Yep.
It was a special deal with Amazon.
I had to find that out the hard way.
Right. Well, you could have emailed me. I just couldn't give it to you. You know,
I'm trying to support a brother.
Right, yeah, right. So for 2 months, it was only on Amazon. Mm-hmm. April and most of May, or March, April, it was only on Amazon. And then, like, mid-May, it became available on all platforms. You know, so August Green with an E at the end of Green.
So where did the name August Green come from first?
It's random as hell. It's just something that Common and Kareem came up with it. They're both like vegan-y people.
Have you got a couple in here too, Robert? It's okay.
He's a vegan-y people. My little girl's a vegan-y people.
Look, every time we go in the studio, I'd be like, yo, Rosh, this is not hip hop, bro. Look at this. Where's the Chris Style? You know? It'd be mad juice.
We all are not allowed to call him that.
Noted.
But he's really really loves jazz. Like, he used to come to my trio, my jazz shows in like 1999, 98 stuff, yeah, at my smaller cafes in Brooklyn when I'm just trying to make some money, you know, a $50 gig. But he used to come, hang out, and rhyme. We'd jump on stage and rhyme and stuff. You know, so we've been at this for a minute. Like, he loves making things out of thin air. He's one of the last, like, real, like, he really freestyles.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
he
off the dome.
Yeah, he's been here before. He's
100%. Yeah. And he's really good. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so when we go in the studio, it's just like that. We walk in. Kareem likes to go in a little early. He'll play like 30 minutes worth of drum, just beats, random beats, live drums, real drums. And then come out, we'll all just sit there and listen. And we'll all be like, ooh, that part. And he'll like that part. And he'll take that part, chop that part, loop it, and then I'll go in with my keyboard and stuff, and I'll come up and I'll just start playing stuff, and Rashid and Kareem will be like, ooh, that! And I'll be like, oh, you like that? You know, it's recording already, so we'll take that, loop that.
This sounds like a hard process, bro.
No, it's super easy.
Because it's still hip-hop. You know, it's cool, you're a producer, so you're going in, you're finding something you like, right, and then you loop it.
Right.
So it's still hip-hop. I mean, it's jazz.
Yeah.
But it's still hip-hop.
Yeah.
So then you play something, I find what I like, I loop that, and boom, I put it on top. It's still hip-hop.
Yeah, it's still hip-hop, 100%.
Yeah.
And then we loop it, and then Rashid goes into the mic and freestyles a little vibe to try to get a little vibe on it. You know, and then we just go from there, and boom, that's one thing. Like, we'll go to the studio, we'll come up with like 9-10 ideas in a day. You know what I mean? Sometimes more than that, if we're just really in the... And then it's just super easy. Then we hear something, we're like, yo, who do you hear on this? You know what I mean? We'll find out a guest, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we just, when we think of something, we do it.
Did you know you guys were going to take this on the road too and perform? Was that part of it?
Yes. The hard part was finding when, because my schedule's crazy. His schedule was already crazy. Kareem's schedule was crazy. But we found that November was like a perfect month for all of us. And that's why we didn't go on tour earlier. You know what I mean? So November was the perfect month for all of us. So we decided to just do this whole November tour, you know.
This is crazy. Like, okay, so how all these guys who have so much going on, how do you find the time? And like, and with you, Rob, and Kareem as well, you guys are jazz musicians.
Right.
So that's a whole nother, it's like you like dipping and dabbling in all these worlds.
Exactly. So it's really hard because, you know, if I'm about to play in the market, you know, it's like one of them things where, oh, you can't play in the market 3 months before you get to the market.
Right.
You know, blah, 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 blah. So it's like, I'll be like, my manager will be like, hey, can we do a gig here? Rashid will be like, I'm playing that market the month before or a month after that gig. So I can't do, you know what I mean?
Like, right, yeah.
So it's all this song and dance stuff with all of our schedules. Kareem was just here with Dying to Crawl.
And I was going to ask you guys.
Drummer, you know,
here
so.
He is, Diana Krall, incredible jazz. This lady is incredible. I haven't heard her records. So, what do you love the most in your world? I know you get to go through all these different places, but is there a place where I love this jazz world? I love this hip hop world when I'm in it. Is there a particular place that you like to be? And then you performed with so many artists, hip hop and jazz. I'm just curious, and I know you won't tell me.
And R&B too.
Right, right. Yeah, so, is there a particular artist? Is there a particular style you choose? And is there a particular artist from each genre that you like to work with the most? And I hate to do that to you because I don't want the other ones to get mad. Really, that's because your list, you get tired of looking at because you and Kareem, it's like a who's who of who we've played with.
Right. In hip hop, my favorite cats to work with is two. It's Common and it's Mos. Mm-hmm. Yasiin Bey, a.k.a. Yasiin.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because...
Well, I've been working with Mos just as long as I've been working with Common. Right. And Mos, I used to be Mos's music director. And from 2005 to like 2009, I was his music director. So whenever he did a gig with a band, it was using my band and we would rock. We just did two shows. He's retired.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Is he really going to stop? Because
No, he loves it too much. He loves it too much.
Thanks. I'm glad you told me that.
Yeah, he loves it way, way too much. They're even, yeah. So
say no more.
Yeah. So we just did two shows in Paris and London. My band and Mos, we did a show in Paris, a show in London in March just now. What I mean? I love Mos and I love Rashid. And it's because they're so fluid with all the music. You know what I mean? They love so much music that we can throw anything at them. And they'd be like, ooh, yeah, we love that. Blah, 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 blah. And they're just dope. They're super dope, too. On the R&B side, I mean, Bilal's my favorite vocalist, period.
See, these are all your friends, though.
I know, but that's not my fault. It's not my fault.
These are all your buddies, man.
I love Anita Baker.
Well, who don't? Rob is in love with Anita Baker. Right. Who's that?
I just play with her. Ooh, I just play with her.
What?
You trumped us on that one. So how did that work out?
She was in Chicago. I was in Chicago. Well, I did a song. Well, we were both signed to Blendl Records at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then turns out her son was a big fan of mine. He's a DJ. Her son was a big fan of mine. And he was telling his mom about me. Blah, 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 blah. Long story short, I tweeted, this is like two years ago. I tweeted, hey, I'm about to land in L.A. What's up, L.A.? Something like that. She tweeted me, like, come by the studio. I was like, Anita Baker, And I met her once before.
Anita Baker just tweets you.
She tweets me. So I'm like, I met her once before. You know what I mean?
I get you.
I'm like, oh, snap. It was a DM. I'm like, oh, snap. So I'm like, okay, where's studio? I get in there. She's like, I want you to hear my new album. Mm. So I'm like, oh, snap. All right. So I listen to the album. Listen to it down. And she was like, I wish I would have known you were going to be here. I'm about to turn this album in. We wish we could have done a song together. I said, I bet you I'll write you a song today. She was like, today? What? I was like, I bet you I'll write you a song today. She was like, I mean, all right. Bro, I wrote a song in 1 hour. I sat there, wrote this song.
What? At the studio?
At the studio, while we were there. She was sitting there, I wrote this song. I took it to my boy's studio, where he is. He put drums on it, bass on it. We built up the track. Called my other boy. So it was my boy, Andre Harris, a great producer. Called my other boy, Sir, to come in and write lyrics and write a melody to the song. So we demoed the song, sent it to her that evening. She learned it overnight.
What?
Came back in the studio the next day and did it in one take.
Come on.
You lie.
Now he's just trying to have stories to tell. Now he's just trying to be impressive.
Hey, look.
All right, Rob. You can tell a good story, okay? We get it. Rob Glassman can tell a good story. We get it, but now we're going too far.
But check it out. Then she says, I've only had 3 songs in my life fit me like a couture dress. To where I didn't have to change anything. And I was the third
Rob.
Song.
You were the
what
couture
other
dress?
What were
the other two?
The
other two was some song, something she did with George Duke. Mm. And I forget the first one. But because I was telling her, giving you the best that I got is like one of the reasons why I play the piano. That song, specifically that song. Mm. You know what I mean? My mom used to play a lot of Anita Baker and a lot of Luther in the house. So between Luther and because they both used acoustic piano, they both used acoustic piano all the time. You know what I mean? So those things registered with me, resonated with me for all my, since I was in elementary school. So when I got a chance to get in with it. But anyway, long story short, the album's not coming out. But so.
What? Wait a minute.
I don't know the details. I don't know the details, but the album's not coming out, but I do have the song. So my dream is to hopefully she'll let me put the song out maybe on my Black Radio 3 album.
Wow. We'll see. There's like a million questions I have for Robert. I'm trying not
to, I don't want to talk about the sex tape with me and Halle Berry. I want this to be strictly about music. Please. I don't want any controversy. No controversy this morning.
He made me forget what I'm
okay.
Gonna ask.
That's behind me. I want to ask a
It was three weeks ago. It's behind me.
I want to ask a non-music question. I follow you on Instagram. I know you're a huge Rockets fan.
Yes.
What do you think about Carmelo coming to the team?
I love it. Well, this is what I love. Okay, I love Carmelo. I'm a Carmelo fan. When he's on, he's on. He's an offensive machine. When he's on, I get it. He's getting a little older. You know what I mean? And maybe a little bit lazy. But I feel like it's still, if he plays some defense, this is my thing. I feel that if he play a little defense and really give us what he can do on offense, I think it'll be great. I'm mad that we lost
Ariza.
Mbabute.
We need some defensive players. We don't have any defensive players really like that. You know, Chris Paul's great. You know, he can play some defense.
And Carmelo locks up the paint a little bit.
Yeah. Harden doesn't play defense. He's all offense. My thing with Harden, I love Harden. He's an offensive machine. But I think he dribbles too many times for each possession. That's why he gets tired at the end of the game. You know what I mean? He literally out-dribbled. They had a stat. He out-dribbled Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and was it Draymond Green? All three of them. He out-dribbled all three of them in one game. They had 500 dribbles.
I didn't even know they had dribble count.
Oh, they do. They do. They had the one game. They had 500 dribbles between three of them. He had 550. Wow. Because when you look at it, you're not going to stop him. But it's like 30 of these before he makes his move. It's tiring. You know what I mean?
He letting boys know, man.
You know, I was at game 7. I was there. I was right there. I watched the whole thing, and he just gets tired at the end. You know what I mean? And it kind of almost kind of it feels like he's giving up. And it was so close. You know what I mean? So I feel like if he worked on that, maybe just like a Tim Hardaway 1-2, like bah, bah, you know what I mean? Like give me the crossover, get to the rim, boom. Because too many dribbles, you get a little winded.
Harden is somewhere saying, okay, note taken.
Oh yeah, you know what I mean? Hey Harden, if you're hearing, this is Robert Glass for Basketball Extraordinaire. I played on the team. It was a B team, but
you were there.
I was there. Actually, I didn't even really play. I was on the bench, but I was there watching the games in high school.
Did you make it say in the bench or on the band?
On the bench. But I slid the bench over to the piano.
The deal with Blue Note, you had been there for so long. That deal is up now.
Technically, yes. Technically, it's over. So I just did my last record for them.
So what does this mean now? Because your whole career was at Blue Note.
Yeah. I mean...
And Blue Note, because we were talking about it earlier, Blue Note is such a well-established, historic jazz record label.
Yeah, it's great. And it's an honor to be on that record label and all that stuff. But my career has... I've ventured out into other areas that they don't deal with. You know what I mean? I'm not just a jazz guy anymore. You know what I mean? I'm a producer. Do R&B, hip-hop. I play in those things. So my stuff has gotten... Yeah, kind of. You know, it can feel like that sometimes, you know what I mean? But they're very lenient in letting me do what I want to do, you know what I mean? So I love them a lot, you know what I mean? But, you know, it is like, you know.
Spread your wings, fly away to the place.
Yeah. Robert Glasper. Grammy Award winner, Emmy.
Multi-Grammy.
Get it right.
Multi-Grammy Award winning jazz pianist. I don't know what to call you.
Musician, producer, composer, model. I'm a lot of things.
Super artist.
Thank you. Love that one.
So what? Here's another serious question. Because you do have so much going on. You play in all these different worlds. Yes. And you have a son. How are you managing family? Because they need their time. Kid needs his time.
Yeah.
Your musicians, your career needs its time. Yep. How is Robert managing all this?
Well, you try to make people not hate you as much. because they're going to do that. They're going to be mad. You know what I mean? It comes to the territory. You're not going to get away from that. So it's just one of the things where you're like, okay, this month, how can I make you not hate me as much as last month? You know, so I try to, like, when I come home, I try to do these trips with my son. We went to Universal Studios in L.A. like 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. Did that. We come here, hang out. You know, hang out with the family, cousins, try to do that. You know, try to make it up to him as much as you can. Mm-hmm. I try to be super dad, you know, and then get back to his mom and so I can be regular. So she'd be mad at me. So, like, super dad, here you go. You know. it comes off. You know, but it's hard. I mean, you go with the flow and you try to do what you can, but at the end of the day, you know, they're just going to, you know, you just try to make it up as you can.
Would you have chosen anything else?
No, not at all.
You're definitely doing what Robert Glasman was putting you to do.
Yes. I do want to dabble in some acting, though. You know what I mean? I'm taking some small steps to getting more in front of the camera.
Why? Why is that something?
Look at me.
He said, look at me.
That's funny.
Besides the fact that I'm handsome, not sure why that's funny, sir. But besides the fact that I'm handsome, apparently I'm hilarious. Everyone likes to tell me I'm hilarious. And you know what I'm saying? I have my Instagram account. I do a lot of stupid stuff. Because that's just who I am. I'm just that guy. You know what I mean? Funny. My dad's like that, too. My whole family's like that, really. I just want to... That's a part of my personality, and I've always put my personality in my music, you know, in who I am. I'm the same off stage as I am on stage, you know.
You are funny. You are funny. You know? You've done so many great things. What's the little thing that you do for NPR? You
perform Tiny Desk.
Yeah, Tiny Desk was fun.
They were like tripping because when you came here the first time, I'm like, man, that's Robert Glasper.
Right.
I was really tripping.
Right.
I'm like, man.
I was tripping. Like, I saw you. I was like, nah, that's Matt. You don't understand.
Nah, I really was. I'm like,
don't let me start it right now.
No, don't start.
Because it's like, don't. Y'all both gonna be going back
what's
and forth.
What's up, y'all? What you got?
We will be going back and forth. But you've done so much, and you know, and you've worked with so many tremendous people. You know what? Here you go. How is it? How do I ask this question?
Yes.
How is it when you have to deal with those personalities, those egotistical, hard personalities, when you have to do what you have to do? I don't want to ask who was like the a-hole or anything like that.
Right.
But in this business, you come across them.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And you have to play for them oftentimes or make...
Well, this is the thing. In 2005, that's when my career changed and I didn't have to do anything I didn't want to do. Because that's when I got signed and I was doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So whenever I got into a situation that I realized, I was bye-bye.
Quickly. Would you really?
Oh, I've done that quickly. I've done that to a few artists.
Ooh, I want to ask. Oh.
I'll say a name.
Let her rip.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Lauryn Hill.
What? Why you do Lauryn Hill like
that? No. Why she do me like that? I mean, if you ask any musician, most people wouldn't know unless you know musicians that's played for her. Mm-hmm. But I did a show with Lauryn. This is 2008, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's from Mont Blanc Jewelry Corporation. Mm. Right? Mm. She's getting $500,000 for this show. It's a 20-minute show. My friend was the MD. He said, Rob, we're doing a show in L.A. You want to do this show? Mind you, 2 years prior, she had been calling me, trying to get me to come to her house to audition. I'm already a signed artist. I'm traveling the world doing my own thing. I don't do auditions. So I was like, sorry, I don't do auditions. If you want me, you can listen to my album.
I like you.
You can do like that. But I'm not auditioning. I don't audition.
Now, Rob, that could have came across a little...
No, but this is what they... She was calling me, talking about playing for me over the phone.
What?
No, we're not doing that. Yeah, can you play with a phone then? Blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm like, no, but I do have albums out. Number one jazz albums on the charts. If you like, you can check those out. And then you know what I mean? But I'm not auditioning. I'm not. So then my boy's like, yo, Lauryn has a show in New York. You want to play? I'm like, all right, what's the deal? He's like, rehearsing for 1 week for a 20-minute show. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So we rehearse a whole week, like 10 hours a day. Every day she comes in and changes the show, changes what she wants to do.
Completely?
Completely. We're like, okay, so, you know. Anyway, the last rehearsal, she doesn't show up. Her manager shows up and says, Lauryn's not really feeling the way you guys have been learning the music, so we're going to cut your pay in half. the last rehearsal, the day before the show. We're going to cut your pay in half. First of all, we won't get paid that much anyway. But understand, she's getting $500,000.
Yeah.
So seriously, you're going to take these five musicians and cut their pay in half?
Okay, did you feel like y'all were messing up, though?
Not at all. It was a super band. Not at all. We weren't.
I see Robert Glasper.
No, so but that's a fair question.
We weren't. No, but she has a thing of, she likes to fire bands. I can name you, I can rattle off 15 guys off the top of my head. She will go on tour with a band. And in the city that they're doing a show, she'll hold auditions for her band.
Wait a minute.
Who does that?
Say that again now.
She'll go on tour. Yes. This happened to one of my boys, a few of my boys, but this one particular, they flew to Japan to do shows in Japan. While she's in Japan, she's holding auditions in the hotel, in the ballroom, for her band.
Damn, that's gangster, right?
That's there. Super gangster.
Boy, he's a gangster, man.
Super gangster. And nothing's wrong. Like, the bands are good. She gets the best musicians. The bands are always good. She just has a thing. I don't know what it is, but it's a thing. So anyway, so the last rehearsal, they go around to everybody like, y'all cool with that? We're cutting pay in half. You cool? You basically like, if you're not cool, you can leave. I didn't need that gig. I'm making money on my own. I have my own career at that time. I'm like, well, I was eating a beef patty. I never forget it. I was eating a beef patty. And I was like, when I finish my beef patty, I'm going home. So y'all can do what y'all need to do. But look, I'm the principal piano. I'm the piano player. I'm the principal piano player. I know they need me.
Right.
The gig's tomorrow. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm going home. I walk out. The manager runs. And first of all, before she even came in, the MD, my friend, was like, just so you know, don't look her in the eye. Call her Miss Hill.
So these be rumors be true?
That's 100% true.
Don't look her in the eye?
Don't look her in the eye. Don't, and you have to call her Miss Hill. Don't look her in the eye. So in one of the days of rehearsal, she was like, Robert, I need you to blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, Lauren. Respect. You know what I mean? You can't come into a situation, especially when you've already stolen all of my friends' music. Miseducation was made by great musicians and producers that I know.
Oh, Lord.
Personally.
Go ahead, what you talking about?
Let us speak.
You know what I mean?
I want to know more.
Oh, Lord.
So you got a big hand off of music that you didn't even write. Oh. You feel me, though?
You
got
hey,
a big...
Robert, you know she going to hear this.
100%.
Okay.
I care less.
This show is known for getting people...
I'm ready. I don't care.
Oh, my goodness.
Because nothing I'm saying is a lie. Point to me where the lie is, then we can have a conversation. But if she looks at it, it's very true. It's 100% true.
Yeesh.
That's why they got their money. You know what I mean?
Didn't know this was going to be a controversial interview.
Hey.
That's why she rearranges the music on the tour, right?
Yes. All kinds of stuff. But look.
Oh, that's why.
Just checking.
I was wondering why.
I guess, whatever. But what I'm saying is this. I went into it knowing, okay, you steal music. You know what I mean? I knew it. But look, this is my thing.
Oh, I steal music.
Look, Lauryn Hill.
Holy crap.
I've met Stevie Wonder and hung out with Stevie. I've met Quincy Jones, hung out with Quincy Jones. I've met Herbie Hancock, hung out with Herbie Hancock. If those three people can be cool, Lauryn Hill should be able to be cool. You haven't done enough to be the way you are. You just have not. Mm. The one thing you did that was great, you didn't do.
Wow. All
right, Robert.
No, we want to know, Hannah.
That's where I'm at.
Well, y'all, look, y'all, you, wow. Come on, Cooper. You usually do
it. No.
We're not getting that how we all is.
I'm out here. Look, I'm out here.
So you're trying to say she didn't make the classic album?
No, we're not.
Look, what I'm saying is she took the credit for making the classic album. Those songs were written by other people, and they did not get their credit. She likes to take credit so she can become this super person. If you're a super person, you're that talented.
Do it again.
Do it. You feel me? She couldn't tune her guitar in rehearsal. We were in rehearsal. She had my boy Benji tune her guitar. Benji. She would come in rehearsal like this and
go. I thought we were going to have a nice conversation
Look. She would come in rehearsal and say. She would come in rehearsal and say, Benji, guitar, and just hold it out like this. He would run and turn the guitar.
Oh God. Okay. No more stories. No more stories.
This ain't live. You can edit this later. Look. I'm telling you the truth. So anyway, she Anyway, I leave rehearsal. I'm like, I'm eating my beef patty. I'm leaving. I leave rehearsal. They run after me. They run after me to the middle of the street. Like, what can we do? I say, well, before 4 o'clock, you can wire all my money into my account because now I don't trust y'all. So if you want me to do this gig, you need to wire my money into my account within 30 minutes. That's what you can do. So I waited. They wired the money to my account, and then I went home. I didn't do the rehearsal because they already suspected me. I went home. And then I came back and did the show. I did the show the next day.
How'd the show go?
It was great. 20 minutes. We were like 4 songs.
How did we go wrong?
But I will say this. There was one joyous moment in that week. There's a song called Doo-Wop, right? Starts mm-hmm. off with a piano. Mm-hmm. Bling, 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 bling. Mm-hmm. So one day, she was just being a real, you know. And I'm like, okay.
Uh-oh.
Jeez.
So instead of, she was like, Doo-Wop. Instead of doing Doo-Wop, I went, blum, 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 blum. That's the intro to Joyful Joyful.
Yeah.
She looked at me and sang a verse and a chorus. We did a verse and a chorus of Joyful Joyful. And then she looked at me and was like, okay, back to this. You know, so for a minute, like a minute and a half,
she normalized.
Yeah, she normalized and became. So it's in there. I really feel like she's in her. Something happened. Yeah. People can change.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not shitting on her forever and I'm like, you know, coming up, but that's the stuff that really happened and you're going to have to take accountability for it at some point. You know what I mean? And then you're good. Like Maxwell, I used to play Maxwell. You know, I was playing Maxwell's the whole Pretty Wings 2009 to mm-hmm. 2014. Mm-hmm. The nicest guy, one of the nicest artists I've ever played with. You know, good guy. Whenever he came to Houston, I was on piano. You know, like, good, great guy. But he'll tell you, he's like, man, my early years, you couldn't have been in my band in my early years because he said I was a whole different person.
Really?
You know, yeah, he was a whole different kind of dude.
Like, and he can be honest and say that I was tripping.
He was tripping. And he said it, and he wasn't like that with us at all. You know what I mean? At all. So people can change, you know what I mean? So I hope she does change, you know, but those were real things. She disrespected a lot of people. A lot of people. A lot of musicians with families just cutting, you know. We just did something together, but it was remotely. You know what I mean? We did a tribute to Nina Simone album.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Nina Simone Revisited. She produced the first half, and I produced the second half of it. So I produced the first half. She sung all the songs, and she used her band. The second half, I used other art. I used Jasmine Sullivan. I used Andre Day. Oh, nice. I used Gregory Porter. Nice. I used Usher. I used Mary J. Blige, and I used somebody else. So that's like half and half, but it's on, you know, you can get it anywhere on any platform, but you know, we're in the same room, but RCA was like, Robert, we want you to produce this album. And then they came to me a few days later, like, Lauren wants to do it too. Will y'all do it together? She'll do the first half, do the second half, you know?
Wow. Well, you've, this morning, let's talk about that August Green concert. When
yes,
is that going
yes.
down again?
So August Green, the concert is going to be at the Smart Financial Center, November 24th.
I love Robert, y'all.
November 24th is going down. Actually, we're doing remixes this month, so we're putting out remixes from the August Green album.
Oh, really? Okay.
Every day, every week, starting next Friday, every Friday, and the first week of September. So we did like 4 remixes. Cool. So we did on the August Green project. We did a version of Optimistic from Sounds of Blackness.
Yeah.
With Brandy.
We played that.
Yeah,
that's the version we played.
Yeah, and they shit on me, Robert, for that. They shit on me for that. They started making fun of me. Because I picked it out. I was like, hey,
no,
man.
Because
every Friday we play
every Friday, that's our song.
Every Friday we play the original Optimistic from Sounds of Blackness.
I never heard it before, and I was brand like, man,
and
that is the classic.
As soon as the August Green album came out, I pulled it up. I was like, Monday morning, we got to play this, and we played
from
it.
From here on out.
We killed it, though.
From here on out.
I love it.
We played the Robert version.
Come on. There we go.
Appreciate you checking out the Mad Hatter Morning Show podcast. Make sure you share, like it, tell your friends, even tell a foe. Everywhere you listen to podcasts, you can listen to the Mad Hatter Morning Show podcast. And of course, you can listen to the Mad Hatter Morning Show weekdays at 97.9 The Box, 5 to 10 Central, and download the app 97.9 The Box. We appreciate it.